firstly, thanks to the organizers for giving me this chance to talk in this program, especially Myeongbak. So my talk will contain two parts. The first part is I will talk about the exotic topological phase transitions in two-dimensional, in particular, in a bilayer quantum spin four system, which was studied by a quantum Monte Carlo simulation. And the exotic phase transitions are quantum spin Hall to a mod transition, and this transition, it turns out to be a bosonic SPT transition, which can be described by an O4 nonlinear sigma model with exact O4 symmetry and the topological theta term. And another transition I will talk in this model, in this context, is a semi-metal to mod transition, which is related to the D16 classification of the helium-3b topological superconductor. And then in the second part, I will try to tell you a story about the strange correlator, which is a concept we used, which is a method we use to decode the boundary features of the SPT state from its bulk wave function. And we test this method on a single layer quantum spin hole, which with interaction, which is an interacting Fermion SPT state. And the result matches the Luttinger liquid theory of edge states. Okay, so let me first thank my collaborators, Cheng Ke Xu at UCSD and his students. Kevin Slagle did all these quantum Monte Carlo simulations. And we also collaborate with Ziyan Meng from Institute of Physics, Chinese Academy of Science, and his students. And we also collaborate with Zhong Wang from Tsinghua University. We are supported by these fundings. Okay, so to match the topic of this workshop, maybe it's good to start with this famous phase diagram in this nice review article. And the message is that with spin orbital coupling, we can have many interesting quantum phases. Already in the weak interaction, weak correlation regime, we have many possibilities, including both gap and gapless phases. So the gap phases includes the topological insulator, topological superconductor, topological crystalline insulator, and so on. And for the gapless phases, we have wild semi-metals and many Dirac semi-metals and many this kind of non-trivial band structures. So these weak correlation topological phases are well described by the fermion band theory on the free fermion level or on the mean field level. And the gap phases is also known as a symmetry protected topological phases now. And in the strong correlation regime, there are even more possibilities, such as the interaction can drive the system into an order phase, such as the spontaneous symmetry broken phase or topological orders like a spin liquid, which are also hot topics in this workshop. But today I will focus on the case where the interaction doesn't drive the system to an order phase, but system remains disordered. So one possibility is that the system becomes an interacting SPT. So in this talk, I will mainly focus on these gap phases, gap SPT phases. So the general feature of the fermionic SPT states is like that. The bulk system, the bulk of the fermion SPT state is a fully gapped and non-degenerate. And its boundary is either gapless or degenerate. And such non-trivial boundary features are typically protected by certain symmetries of the system. So within the free fermion band theory, the bulk, the non-trivial SPT bulk is separated from the trivial phase by a quantum phase transition where the fermion gap closes, because you cannot smoothly tune a topological band structure to a trivial band structure in the presence of symmetry. So the same physics apply to the boundary if we consider the boundary, which is the interface between the system and the trivial vacuum, because the band structure cannot tune smoothly across the boundary, so the boundary must be gapless unless we break the symmetry. So these are the free fermion case we know very well. But with interaction, the story can be modified. So first of all, the topological transition can happen without closing the fermion gap, because the interaction can drive the fermion system into a spin or bosonic system, such that the topological signature is actually carried to the carried by this boson sector, and so the topological transition can happen by closing the boson gap instead. And at the boundary, there are also more possibilities, like the boundary fermions can be gapped out without breaking the symmetry. So one scenario is that the interaction can introduce surface topological order to gap out the boundary, but in this case, the boundary is still not trivial because it has a topological ground state degeneracies. So another scenario is that the interaction can gap out the boundary without any degeneracy. And in this case, basically, the boundary is triply gap out, which means the SPT in the bulk must belong to a trivial class. So this is an interaction reduced SPT classifications. And of course, interaction can also lead to new SPT phases, but I will not talk about these more exotic cases. I will just focus on these two cases. So to illustrate this physics, we look at a specific model. The model we study is called the bilayer Kamin-Lee-Hubbard-Heisenberg model. The name is a little bit long, so let me explain it term by term. So the model basically is a spin 1/2 fermion on a bilayer honeycomb lattice with AA stacking. The band structure is given by a two identical layers of the Kamin-Lee model with a Kamin-Lee spin orbital coupling. And the interaction terms includes, we have two interaction terms. One is a Heisenberg term on each side. Hubbard term on each side, and the Heisenberg term that couples the fermion spins across the layer.
So the coupling between the layers is only due to Heisenberg?
Yeah, coupling only due to Heisenberg. Okay, so this is a phase diagram of the model. So we see in the weak interaction limits, because we have two copies of the Kamin-Lee model as the band structure, so the weak interaction phase is the Kunnan spin hall insulator with spin hall conductance plus or minus 2 depending on the sign of the spin orbital coupling. I must say that this model, because this model has a spin SZ conservation, so the classification is actually Z. So the quantum spin hall conductance equals plus 2 is not a trivial phase. So these are not trivial SPD phases.
Sorry?
Yeah.
When you say spin hall conductance, you don't mean like the actual the SU2 spin, you mean like the layer index? Or?
Yeah, it's layer. It's up spin hall conductance minus down spin hall conductance.
Some pseudo spin.
It's not pseudo spin.
No,
it's just SZ, physical spin. Yeah.
It's not quantum Hall of SZ, right? Because there's time reversal symmetry, so it cannot be able to call.
Yeah, maybe it's.
Yeah.
It's a charge spin cross response or something.
It's a correlation between spin current and charge current.
The two layer basically gives you identical spin Hall conductance. Each layer is a spin Hall. Okay, so in the strong interaction limit, the charge fluctuation will basically be gapped out by the Hubbard interaction, and leaving only spin 1/2 degrees of freedom on each side. And then the Heisenberg interaction will couple the spin 1/2 together into a spin cyclic. So the resulting state in the strong interaction limit will be the direct product state of this interlayer spin singlet, which is a featureless Mott insulator, which is also trivial in the SPT sense. Because all these three phases have a different spin hole conductance, they must all be separated from each other by topological phase transitions. So the quantum spin hole to quantum spin hole transition is more conventional. It's a gapless, it just fermion becomes gapless along the semi-metal critical line. And this line, the band structure here is just two layers of graphene. But what's non-trivial is that there's a quantum spin hall to trivial Mott transition, this topological transition. We found that the fermion remain gapped across the transition, but what become gapless at the transition are the collective boson modes. So let me talk about what are the boson modes. So these boson modes are basically ordering tendencies in the system. We have two different kinds of competing orders. So one is a spin density wave, which is an in-plane anti-ferromagnetic order which the fermion spin aligns in opposite direction between the sublattice and also between the layers. So another bosonic mode is this superconducting order, which is an interlayer spin singlet. So at a special point when this target interaction is turned off, the model has an exact O4 symmetry, which well this SDW and superconducting order they degenerate with each other. So to see this O4 symmetry more explicitly, we can introduce two new sets of fermion doublets by a particle transformation of the fermions in the second layer, such that the SO4 rotation can be factorized into SU2 left and SU2 right, acting on either this upspin or downspin fermions. And the SDW and superconducting order parameters can be combined or unified into this O4 vector written in terms of F fermion this way. And the model Hamiltonian can be also written in terms of F fermion, and it is explicitly SO4 symmetric because every term is written in terms of fermion, in terms of this SU2 singlet. So okay, we stick to this U equals zero point, SO4 point, so there is only one parameter to tune in the interaction term, which is the interlayer Heisenberg term. What we found is that as we tune this Heisenberg coupling across the layer, there's a direct transition from the quantum spin 4 insulator in the weak interaction limit to the strong interacting trivial mode insulator. And with this transition is driven by the interaction, we can measure the gaps, either the fermion gaps or the spin and charge gaps. What we found is that the fermion, so here the different colors stands for different system size, and the fermion gap remains the same, almost the same, and doesn't close across the transition, but the spin gap just closes at the transition. So we see this transition is at its only bosonic gap closing without fermion gap closing. So this topological transition is very different from the conventional free fermion topological transition driven by the Dirac mass, where both the fermion and boson will become gapless in the free fermion case. So here we have a non-trivial transition. Because the fermions are gapped, so only bosonic degrees of freedom are involved in this transition. So this transition actually is a bosonic SPT transition, which means under interaction, bilayer quantum spin 4 system can be effectively driven to a bosonic SPT state. Of course, in the bulk, we know the fermions are gapped. It's very good. And at the boundary, we can also check that the interaction actually is this Heisenberg interaction is marginally relevant, which sucks up all the fermions at the edge modes. So there's no fermion, low energy fermion excitation anywhere in the system, either in the bulk or at the boundary. So the system under interaction really is a bosonic SPT system.
And you need some description of quantum spin state as a bosonic SPT state. Describe it as a bosonic SPT transition.
No, we also have a boson theory for that.
Yeah.
Purely boson theory, it will be in
next. Yeah, in the next.
Okay.
Just to clarify, I mean, you said at the when U is equal to zero,
yeah,
you have SO4.
Yeah.
Do you mean that your all generators commit with Hamiltonian, including the kinetic terms?
Yes. Yes. We can check all the SO4 generator commutes.
So once you turn on the U, you break it.
Yeah.
Then you don't necessarily have this gapless position anymore.
No, if you slightly break the symmetry, it doesn't matter, it doesn't gap out the transition immediately. But if you break it too hard, some symmetry broken phase may set in at the transition. So that's not a direct transition. But here we just focus on this high symmetry case.
Question?
Yeah.
If you just had the non-interacting fermions, is it direct? Non-fine-tuned direct transition from quantum spin hole to like trivial phase, is it possible, or is there always some intermediate phase?
Yeah, in a free fermion, system, then usually you just close the fermion gap. It's a conventional.
But is there a direct transition from?
Well, if you have enough spin free,
but then somehow you're saying that, you know, same two phases are separated by two different universality classes of transition.
Maybe it's a different symmetry.
Or is the trivial Mott insulator, is trivial Mott insulator different from a trivial band insulator?
It's a different trivial band insulator. Yeah. It's an oscillator.
I see, but it doesn't have topological order.
It doesn't have topological order.
So then how can...
It's
trivial Mott insulator and SVT?
It's a trivial Mott insulator, a trivial SVT, trivial everything.
No, but I thought that trivial Mott insulator must be the same as trivial band insulator.
Isn't the trivial Mott insulator a magnet? It's just a...
It's not a magnetic insulator.
It's just a gear progress wave.
The spins.
The spin, yeah. It's for large J.
Sorry?
It's for large J. For large J, yeah.
I mean, isn't it small J and large U?
For large U and large J, the same. Yeah.
No, yeah. For small J and large U.
For small day logic, the
anti-ferromagnet. Yeah. Yeah, it's an anti-ferromagnet order. But for a small unit logic, it's not. So it's trivial motors, but
there's some costs in SPT? Yeah, in the SPT sense, it's true.
Trivial SPT.
In fermionic sense, is it an SPT?
Sorry?
In fermionic sense, is it an SPT?
No, it's not extended either.
There's no symmetry broken order, no topological order, no edge state.
Okay, so question is that adiabatically connected or band insulator, trivial band
insulator? Yeah, that's I don't know actually.
The wave function is not the same.
Sure, your wave function is not specific.
I think they are in the same SPT class.
There's an even number of cyclones. So.
Yeah, the fermion filling is also the same. So. Yeah, because this is a, I claim this is a bosonic SPT, so we try to look at this bosonic, the effective theory in the bosonic sector, and it turns out to be a nonlinear sigma model with a topological theta term. So these bosonic fluctuations are just SDW and superconducting order parameters that I introduced previously. They couple to the boson fields. These are fermion bilinear operator coupled to the boson field in this way. And then if we integrate out the fermion operator, then we end up with a nonlinear sigma model of the boson field with a theta term. And the quantum spin Hall phase corresponds to theta equals 2 pi. Because theta equals 2 pi, this theta term will have an effect that it binds a spin 1 object to each 2 pi vortex of the pairing order parameter, which is also a pi flux of the fermion, seen by the fermion. So each spin one for a pi flux is a defining feature of the quantum spin Hall insulator with spin Hall conductance equals 2. And the trivial Mott phase is described as theta equals 0. So this transition is basically driven by this theta term from 2 pi to 0. And the transition line is described as theta equals 2 pi. And I mean, theta equals pi. And the field theory model has an RG flow diagram. This is a schematic RG flow diagram proposed by Chen Ke and Andrews. So theta equals 0 and theta equals 2 pi, they are a stable fixed point, and theta equals pi is an unstable fixed point which describes the phase transition. And at this point, the boson degrees of freedom will become gapless. But however, this critical behavior around this critical point is not clear yet. So the significance of this bilayer quantum spin Hall model is to provide a sign-free Monte Carlo simulation for the O4 nonlinear sigma model with exact O4 symmetry. And hopefully we can extract the critical exponents along this critical point.
What's the homotopy group in three dimensions for this?
It's from this S. It's S3 to S3. It's a XY time, so it's a three-dimensional.
Yeah, yeah, this
is actually. All four vectors in the S3, on the S3 manifold. So pi 3 S3.
So what's can you just give me the answer? What's the proof?
Pi 3 S3 is Z. Pi 3 S3. And also because this also nonlinear sigma model is a kind of a mother model of many boson SPTs in 2D. So hopefully we can also simulate many boson SPT transitions using Monte Carlo, using this fermion construction. Okay, now let's move on to another phase transition in the phase diagram, which is at the lambda equals zero line. So this at along this line, the semi-metal, because this line is in the weak interaction limit, it's a critical point, critical line between the two quantum spin Hall insulators. And the semi-metal critical line is gapped out by the interaction into the trivial mode phase. In along this line, we changed our parameter to J equals 2U, because this is another high symmetry point where the model has an SO5 symmetry. This SO5 symmetry rotates the spin density wave, all the three components of the spin density wave order parameter with the interlayer exciton order. So along this line, we tune this interaction strength, and we can measure single particle spin and charge gaps, and we can see they all opens up continuously at from zero at the same interaction, critical interaction strength. So there is as soon as this fermion is gap out, we can see the boson also gap out, which means there's no intermediate spontaneous symmetry breaking phases at this critical around this region. So we conclude that at least for the SO5 symmetric model, there is a direct transition from the semi-metal phase to the trivial mode phase, to the fully gap trivial mode phase.
So the SO5 point doesn't have a the feature is non-single plus visible in the region term?
Yeah, but here it's a gapless, so it's there's no non-linear sigma model.
Yeah, this is a gapless
fermion
there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a large error bound on this thing. I'm not so sure that I could conclude that single particle gap closes at the same time.
Yeah, there's all the question mark there.
So this calculation is done at the SO5 symmetric line in the UJ plane. But if we deviate from this SO5 symmetric line, it's possible that it gives us some spontaneous symmetry broken phase that sets in. Like this large U, you can have an anti-ferromagnetic phase, and large J, we found that there's an exciton condensation phase. But we are still not very clear how this phase diagram looks like. Here, but at least along this line, we think there's a direct transition. So because there's a direct continuous phase transition along this line, and there must be a field theory description of this critical point. So the field theory description of the semi-metal is given by 16 copies of Marana cones, 16 Marana cones. Because we have two layers, two valleys, two spins, and two four particle hole. So in terms of Marana count, there's a 16 Marana fermions. So this field theory is the same as the boundary of 16 copies of helium 3b topological superconductors. Yeah, and the fact that we find a continuous phase transition, continuous transition to gap out this fermion, this implies that the 16 Marana counts can be gap out by four fermion local interactions without breaking any symmetry.
Sorry, but you have a lot more symmetry than helium 3b does, right?
Yeah. So, but if you have identical copies of the helium 3b, you also have this SO5.
The point is really that so if the continuous transition is valid, so let's say it's valid, then the field theory can be applied to the boundary as well, even though the symmetry action is very different. I mean, we know that the boundary of the helium 3b cannot be simulated in 2D, but if there's a continuous transition, the field theory can still be applied.
So that probably if you have like SO16 symmetry, then probably
Yeah, right. The symmetry
so
must be
16 symmetry. Is not trivial if it's if there is an SO16 symmetry.
But we don't have SO16 symmetry.
Yeah?
Well, we don't have SO16 symmetry.
Just it's a question of it's like with time reversal symmetry only for sure 16 is trivial, but once you have like a larger symmetry group,
I know.
It's not immediately obvious. There's some analysis.
Yeah, but I think at least if you have, for example, SO2 plus SO7, it'll still be trivial. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the case. Yeah, and SO7 contains all the our symmetries that group already.
So this means it's possible. It's at least possible to gap out the 16 copies of helium 3D with the boundary of helium 3D by gap interaction. So, and because the boundary is gap out trivially, and this means the 16 copies is helium 3D is trivial, which is consistent with the Z16 classification of the helium 3D topological superconductor. And this boundary phase transition is also very exotic. It's beyond Landau's paradigm because no symmetry broken involved, and it's also beyond the Grosnabil theory of typically how we get out the Marana cones. Okay, so now I have discussed all these phase transitions, and we have all these different topological phases. And the next question is how to characterize these phases. Of course, these phases can be characterized by the different spin Hall conductance. But there's another concept people use very often is the spin Chen number, which is defined from the fermion Green's function, which and was proposed to label the different quantum spin Hall phases. Of course, this quantity works well in the weak interaction regime, but it is also believed that this quantity does not work in the strong interaction regime. So our model is an explicit example of when this spin Chen number doesn't work. And because this blue line here, the topological transition is a bosonic SPD transition, it doesn't involve fermion degrees of freedom. So basically, the spin Chen number calculated from the fermion Green function will not change across the transition line. But it will change inside the trivial mod phase. It has to change because, yeah, it has to change somehow. Yeah. So here is what we calculate from the in our QMC result, and we do see if we scan along this line, we do see a jump of the spin Chen number calculated from the fermion Green's function from -2 to +2 along this lambda z equals 0 line. I should emphasize that this dashed line is not a physical phase transition because nothing can become gapless inside this mode phase. So how does this spin Chen number change? So if we look at this definition, we can see this spin Chen number can only change if the integrand becomes singular. So it becomes the singularity can either come from the poles of the Green's function or from the poles of the inverse Green's function, which is the zeros of the Green's function. However, inside the mod phase, because the fermions are fully gapped, so there's no poles of the possible at the zero frequency. So there's only zeros. So the only possibility is that the spin Chen number changes through the zeros of the fermion Green's function at zero frequency, which is indeed what we verified in the Monte Carlo simulation. We see the fermion Green's function goes to zero at zero frequency along this lambda equals zero line.
You have a physical reason why there are these zeros of the Green's function on this dashed line?
Yeah, there's some symmetry arguments. There's on this
What's
dashed
the
line,
symmetry?
There's a higher symmetry, which enforces this Green's function is odd of frequency and momentum.
But then there's no significance from the zeros of the Green's function, really?
Yeah, I think there's no
physical significance.
Yeah, take home message that this number is useless.
Yeah. So because this Simpson number is not good at a strong interaction limit, so we have to find some other kind of method to characterize this strong interaction phase. So yeah, So let me introduce a method we use, is what we call the strange correlator. So so we apply this method to the SPT phases. In the SPT phases, because the SPT states are short-range entangled, so all the physical correlation functions are short-range, decays exponentially. But this quantity, which we call the strange correlator, which is the correlation function evaluated between the topological, between a trivial SPT state, between a trivial product state, and a non-trivial SPT state, this quantity will become long-range or power law in 1D or 2D. So why is that? Because if we look at the path integral formalism, this direct product state and this trivial and non-trivial SPT state can be considered as generated by the quantum field theories with infinite time evolution from above or from below, and they meet at the time equals zero plane. So this quantity becomes the field correlation of this path integral formalism at the time equals zero plane. However, if we perform a space-time rotation, this time equals zero becomes a spatial, boundary. So the strange correlator is basically the physical correlator on the boundary of between two SPT phases, typically between the trivial and non-trivial, trivial and non-trivial SPT phases.
I thought this works only for relativistic systems.
Yes, yes.
The Lorentz invariant.
Yes. We assume, if we assume Lorentz invariant, this argument goes through. So
your correlator is more general?
Yeah, but it turns out that all this correlator method is more general. So that's why we need to test it on the lattice system. Test it on the system where there's no explicit
like what Max did yesterday, we can always assume Lorentz invariant.
But you can definitely think of it as making a boundary in time direction.
That is
definitely true, right? That's basically what this thing you call it.
But whether or not you can rotate it to the spatial boundary, typically this is we think that it works in most of the cases. And we haven't found any counter examples. So in 1D and 2D, because the SPT boundary cannot be gapped out by topological order, so it can only be gapless. So that's why the strange correlator must either be long range or power law. So we have tried these methods on both the bosonic SPT and fermionic SPT systems. So for the bosonic SPT, we look at the example of a two-dimensional AKLT state of spin two particles on a square lattice. So this is our SPT state, and the trivial state we choose is a spin SD product state. And we can calculate the spin strange correlator, the sandwich between this SPT state and the trivial state. So the result is like this. So we can see this correlator decays in a power law behavior. And this is also consistent with the boundary of the system, because the boundary of the system is a spin 1/2 chain with the XY symmetry, because this SD trivial state breaks the spin rotational symmetry into a U1 symmetry.
How can you do, what kind of system size do you do in DMRG here? Looks like a lot of dots here.
Yeah, it's up to 50 size. Okay, yeah.
So what if your boundary is topologically ordered? Then does a strange correlator bigger change? Or?
Yeah, then if you calculate point-point correlation, it's an exponential decay.
Yeah.
But you can calculate some string correlation with some string operator.
That's why we say 1D and 2D.
Oh, okay.
Whose boundary does not.
Yeah.
So this exponent can be computed from the boundary theory?
Yeah, this is. This is a Luttinger liquid on the boundary, so exponent depends on Luttinger problem.
This state, I don't know how to calculate the boundary.
So in principle,
So the strange correlator works well in the bosonic SPT case, and for the fermionic SPT, we start from a free fermion system, which is a two-dimensional quantum spin Hall state. And the trivial state we choose is this valence bond solid. It's by cranking up the vertical hopping to infinite strength. And if we calculate the fermion-fermion correlation, the single particle strength correlator, we can see this this is a 1 over k divergence in the at the endpoint in the Brillouin zone, which under Fourier transform becomes a 1 over r divergence of the strength correlator, which is a tau law. And this is also consistent with the helical fermion edge state we expected from the boundary of the quantum spin Hall state.
Maybe one small
question.
Yeah. If I go to, but this is a simple example of 3D topological insulator, where there is, where in this case, in the Lorentz symmetry, because it's a 1D edge, but there you can have, typically you will have a Fermi surface in the boundary, the Lorentz invariance.
Okay.
So did you, in that case, do you expect that the correlation function will match that of the Fermi surface, or because you have violated now? I mean, it's the same question, which that's a simple example where you don't have.
Yeah, if we don't have Lorentz invariant, we cannot be sure how this boundary, physical boundary, related to the strength correlator.
But you did not look at the Z2 topological insulator case.
We haven't looked at the most general structure, but I think for the case with the inversion symmetry, I think it should just be K as a power law.
Yeah, really power law, but the question is whether if you have a Fermi surface at the boundary,
yeah,
is the power law seen as that of the Fermi surface?
Yeah, as I said, we haven't thought the most
Sorry, a short question?
Yeah.
Maybe another possibility that on the boundary you have spontaneous symmetry breaking system.
Yeah, that's possible. Yeah, we also see that in some of the calculation we see.
Yeah, that's a long range order.
Yeah,
that's a long range order string point. I mean, that's something we also see in some models.
Yeah, it's not always power law. It's sometimes it's long range. Of course, we can not only we can measure this fermion sector strength correlator. We can also try to measure the strength correlator in the bosonic sector, such as the spin-spin correlation or this charge-charge or pair correlation. Because this is a in the free fermion case, this weak theorem still apply to the strength correlator. So the spin strength correlator or the charge strength correlator is just the product or just the square of the fermion correlation function, which goes as a 1 over r square, so in the real space. So that means in the momentum space, you will have a logarithmic divergence at k equals 0 at gamma point, which is also verified in all numerics. So now we try to apply this method to this interacting fermion system. So see. So, of course, our ultimate goal is try to use it to characterize the bilayer quantum spin Hall system. But here, we first tried it on a single-layer Camille-Hubbard model. So the model, it's a single-layer model. Then we only have this Hubbard interaction. We don't have the interlayer Heisenberg. So this model, however, if you tune the interaction will drive the quantum spin Hall insulator to an ordered phase, which is an XY anti-ferromagnetic phase. So the quantum spin Hall phase is SPT non-trivial, and it has a Z classification. And the anti-ferromagnetic phase is basically, apart from these ghost town modes in the bosonic sector, the fermionic sector belongs to a trivial SPT. It's SPT trivial. The reason is that although the antiferromagnetic ordering breaks the spin U1 and the time reversal symmetry, but we can find another time reversal symmetry like this, combined with the U1 charge. So that's put the state in the A3 class in 2D. So that has a trivial classification, which means this antiferromagnetic order phase, the fermion sector belongs to the SPT trivial phase. So therefore, there is no symmetry protected gapless edge fermions in this other antiferromagnetic phase. So to test this idea, we can look at the strength correlators of this system. The the strange correlator, because we think that it corresponds to a boundary correlation. So what's the boundary theory of the quantum spin Hall insulator? It's basically a helical Luttinger liquid, and it has many channels. In the fermion channels, the correlation function is like this, and the spin and charge channels, they are all controlled by a Luttinger parameter G. So let's first look at the bosonic channels, that's the spin and charge channels. So the free fermion case corresponds to G equals 1. And in this case, the spin strange correlator and the charge strange correlator, they have R, 1 over R squared behavior. So in the momentum space, if we look at the correlation function at k equals gamma point in the momentum space, it will scale with the system size as 2 L to the 2 minus 2g, because it's just an integral of the real space correlation function. So when g equals 1, this is basically L to the 0's power, L to the 0's power. So both the spin and charge strange correlator in the free fermion case is a log L behavior, which we can see here. This is the free fermion case corresponds to this purple color, and this is a spin strange correlator. We can look at this inset. This is a correlation function scale with log L. We can see this linear behavior, and this is also a logarithmic fit of the charge channel. So that's good. But if we go to a strong interaction limit, when the system becomes an antiferromagnetic order at a critical point, the spin channels, we know it will develop long range order. So that means this Luttinger parameter G will go to zero at a critical point, which means the spin strange correlator at the gamma point will scale with system size as L squared. And correspondingly, the charge will be gapped out. So the charge correlator will be an exponential decay. So this is what we see. The phase transition happens at U equals 60. It's this red curve. So it can be fit by a L squared curve very nicely. And the charge channel, this red curve, is just decays very fast. And actually, we can calculate this the scaling dimension of the spin operator and the pairing operator. And the scaling dimension, we can see the spin operator is goes to zero from 1 and goes to zero. And it goes to zero at the phase transition point where the antiferromagnetic ordering sets in. And correspondingly, the charge operator is more and more irrelevant. So its scaling dimension grows larger. And the product of these two must be 1, because they are controlled by the same Luttinger parameter, which we can also verify within our error bar. Now let's look at the fermion channel. So the fermion channel, the correlation function, is also controlled by the same Luttinger parameter. And if we do a Fourier transform to the momentum space like this. So when g equals 1, which is the free fermion case, so the strange correlator will decay like 1 over k. So this 1 over k behavior, so it can be seen here. So this is a weak interaction case. We will plot the fermion strange correlator, 1 over fermion strange correlator, to see this. So that we change the 1 over k divergence into a linear k behavior in this 1 over strange correlator plot. And we can see this is almost linear, and gradually it becomes more and more non-linear, which means its power is changing, and eventually we cannot see this zero behavior anymore. So the point we cannot see this 1 over strange correlator goes to zero is the point when this power goes to zero. And this power goes to zero at the Luttinger parameter equals 0.27, which is roughly here, which corresponds to the interaction strength about the 5.5. It's around here. So you can see indeed the fermion channel also has the correct behavior of the strange correlator as expected. So we can see this strange correlator indeed characterized the topological transition from a topological quantum spin Hall insulator to an anti-ferromagnetic insulator. For the fermion sector, it's an insulator. So, however, we are still trying to apply it to bilayer systems. It's still ongoing work. Okay, I guess so. My conclusion is so the first take-home message is that the topological topology with its interaction gives you some exotic phase transitions. In particular, here we discuss two exotic phase transitions. So the first one is that the interaction can drive the fermion SPT state into a boson SPT state, such that the topological trivial transition can happen by closing the boson cohomology without closing the fermion gap. Another interesting transition we discuss is that the interaction can gap out the Dirac or Majorana cones without generating any mean field mass term, without breaking any symmetry. And we also propose a strange correlator as a numerical diagnosis of the SPT states based on the bulk wave function for both fermion, both on bosonic and fermion mixed system, and both in the free and strong interacting case. So it seems that the strange correlator works well. As an outlook, this bilayer quantum spin Hall insulator may be realized in the coatom system by shaking the lattice. So one may be able to see this exotic phase transition in the coatom system, possibly. Yeah, so thanks for your attention.
I just wanted to make a comment that, if you look for realizations of this model, I think that the same physics you see actually in a very different system. In graphene, there is a transition from a Cantor anti-ferromagnet to a quantum ball state driven by magnetic field. And although this is not described in terms of the symmetry properties, it has the same feature that you have, fermions remain gapped, but bosonic degrees of freedom turn from a helical Latin liquid to get
insulator.
So is it a bilayer graphene? No, it's a monolayer, but because of the valley and the spin, the same type of many bodies that you can generate there. And actually, there is a local experimentalist who showed it. This is Andrea Young. Maybe we should talk about it more.
Yeah, sure.
But I think it's very similar to physics, what you're describing.
Or if it's bilayer graphene, maybe.
No, it's monolayer.
It's a monolayer graphene, then maybe the fermion flavor content is not the same as our case.
Yeah.
And maybe it's not a bosonic SPT transition.
Okay, maybe we should talk about it.
Yeah. Can I answer the next question again? So actually, you have the first question. So the R system, if you insist have all the symmetries we have in our model, there's no trivial bending insulator. You cannot write down a trivial bending insulator when you preserve all the symmetries we have in our system.
Including probably lattice symmetry.
Yeah, lattice symmetry, and also separate U1 rotation from each layer, since we didn't turn on this direct tunneling between the two layers. So if you preserve all those symmetries, including separate U1 symmetry, there's no band. It's sort of like what Ashwin was talking about in the conference. It's like
spilling and force.
Yeah, pulling and force.
If you like allow extra bands, throwing in extra bands and probably.
That may be okay, yeah, right. But in our case, we don't have a trigger.
I have a question. So imagine that, let's think about this bilayer model. Imagine that I solve this model using new field theory. Not in terms of your quantum decoration. Mm-hmm. Then I have some kind of Hartree Fock single particle state.
Yeah.
Okay. So then, using that single particle state, I just compute your spin chart number using block states. I can do that without using Green's function. Okay, do you reach the same conclusion? I suppose you do.
Yeah.
Basically, you will get some finite sigma spin H, the margin should error, the change size. I mean, that part should not change. Okay?
So you're talking the bias system, this whole symmetry
broken? Yeah, so imagine that I just use a Heisenberg J, but I just do a partial decoupling or something, then I go to that phase. Let's do the mean field here, not the
But then what's the mean field order parameter? Because there's no ordering.
There's no mean field order parameter. So D, your D, it's not all the parameter, the single formation between single formation between these two double A.
But that's not condensed, that's not, that does not form long range order, it's product stable, single.
So I'm saying in that case, there's no like mutual description.
Yeah, there's no long range ordering of this D operator. There's no condensation of D. So probably you cannot use a theory. You cannot consider this a trigger mount phase as a condensation.
Because you don't break any line search, right?
Yeah.
Because maybe that's the difference, because I know cases where this Green function criteria actually works. So, but in that case, there is a definite broken symmetry, you know, that breaks either spin rotation symmetry,
okay,
time muscle symmetry. You know, it's a genuine broken symmetry, it's a trivial Martin Schmidt, where you have a transition from some topological state to broken symmetry state. There, you see the change.
Yeah.
So it shouldn't be the case, it's always useless, I think. But the question is,
it's
so maybe that's...
Our experience that this spin turn number can work if your transition has a main field description.
Okay.
Has a fermion, free fermion understanding. Mm-hmm.
So maybe that can be a criteria whether this is changed.
Yeah, the reason it doesn't work here because the transition is bosonic,
okay,
so it doesn't involve fermion. But if your transition, although driven by interaction, but still cyclically a fermion.
Okay, yeah, I get it.
That's okay.
We'll just take, yes, and just join.
Okay, I missed this. Can you go back with this twin space diagram with question marks?
Oh. That this is a bilayer model.
Yes. So there's no phase where they can just increasing the U, go to the first trivial mode state, and then for a given J. So I go first trivial mode state, I open a gap, charge gap, but I don't have a long range antiferromagnetic order, and then I induce a long range antiferromagnetic order.
It seems that we scanned this part of phase diagram, we didn't see this in the mode phase. I think the J equals zero line is studied by many people previously, and there's a direct AFM transition.
Because if you take lambda equals zero, for example, so then you have a critical U to sense no nesting kind of instability, so it's sentimental.
Yeah.
So you can first open charge gap and do not have a long
range. That's.
No?
That's one possible scenario indeed, but we didn't see that happen.
When you look at over it, it's going to buy the reflex ones you get. Can you, there are other methods to get the alternate chances reformulation in terms of some one lines of the same transition. Can you compare it with those? I mean, does the numbers match?
Along this line.
Right, the operand is going to be to pi. You can reformulate that in a completely different way, which it's not an issue.
Oh. I'm not sure.
Not even sure whether they found actually. Wasn't their conclusion was that it becomes
first order? But they had lower symmetry.
Well, what's the question? We can't hear you here. What's the question?
The question was there's a paper by Alex in Automate where they tried to study similar transitions, but as Max pointed out, I think the symmetries are different. They're interested in similar things. Broadly, they're interested in for TDS will be 0 loop, for TDS will be 2pi, and the transition in TDS will be pi.
So, what's the Lattice model?
It's not a Lattice model. I think it's some. It's formulated in terms of some.
I think everyone is hungry right now, so let's thank you again and then